Living the Word Today.
So, every time we open this book, it is a fresh opportunity for God to talk to us. Let's make very sure that we are listening to what He wants to say to us.
LivingTheWordToday.com.
Look, the message of the Bible does indeed prepare us for eternity, but it also prepares us for the day we are currently living.
Welcome to Living the Word Today. We invite you to spend the next few minutes studying God's Word with your Bible teacher, Jesse Wagoner. Pastor Wagoner's desire for you is not only to understand God's truth, but to help you live it today. More resources can be found on our website, livingthewordtoday.com. Now it is time to open your heart and your Bible for your time in the Word.
Well, we continue our study. We've entitled Walk with God. Looking at those passages of scriptures where you just see that word walk, to walk in some fashion. Today, if you have your Bible, I want you to look at Colossians chapter 2. If you'll run down the page to verse 6. We'll look primarily at verse 6 and then a couple, three, four verses that come afterwards. Apostle Paul's writing to a church at Colossae. Colossae was a city of their day. It's now in what is we know as Turkey. At that point, it was a Roman province, and Colossae was a very interesting and kind of strategically placed city. A church had been planted there. Believers were serving and worshiping there, and Paul writes one of his four prison epistles. Epistles is a fancy theological Bible term for a letter. One of his four letters that he writes from prison. And at the end of Acts, we studied this on Wednesday night in our adult study, that at the end of Acts, Acts 28, he's in prison for 2 years. And while it's actually house arrest, but he's imprisoned. And while he's there, he writes to the books of Philemon, Philippians, Colossians, and Ephesians, these books that we see. So he's writing to encourage them. As part of his encouragement, verse 6, he says this: "As you therefore have received Christ Jesus, the Lord, so walk in Him." Today we want to just talk about walk in Christ, what it means to walk in Christ. Let's think about this together and explore this together. And if you look at that phrase, and if you have your Bible there, I want you to look at it carefully. So walk in Him. It's fastened in a person. It's connected to a person. Now, I want to just take you back 7 days, if I can, briefly. And I want to think about the reality that indeed we began with walk humbly. We were in the book of Micah, and there we saw we were to walk humbly before our Lord. And there's a certain, how should we say this? There's some realities, some frames, if you want to say it that way, that you want to look at. And this is going to set us up for the rest of our study. But humility is, first of all, what is necessary, all right? So humility is what's necessary. I want to just take you through these steps in just a moment, but we're going to focus today on relationship. To walk with God requires relationship. The last word of the verse is a Him. It's a person. It's Jesus. It's Christ. It's the Lord. It's about Him. It's not just any other thing. So, but how does this relational component fit into humility and the other things we want to talk about? So let me just give you a broad view, and we're going to think about this, and maybe this will set the tone for what comes after. You don't get all these written down. I'm trying to do a little study guide for you. If you go to the website page that goes with this series, you'll find all these things in that PDF. But humility, first of all, humility is that which initiates a relationship. So if you bring up that next slide, I will bring up that thing there. Relationship is initiated by humility. If you don't come humbly before God, you don't know you need Him. If you don't spend that reality of understanding, I spend my endeavoring to understand that He is God and I'm not. That He is the Lord of all and I'm part of His creation. So that humility before God, then we say, I can have a relationship with God. That relationship then is what produces action. Why do we do certain things with somebody we love? It's because we love them and it produces certain actions or the absence of certain actions, okay? And then that action produces an attitude, a mindset, a settled kind of set of beliefs and the reality of who we are in our thought and our emotions and our spiritual life, okay? So the actions produce our attitude, and our attitude is that which sustains our walk. All the verses that we're going to look at in this study are going to be, first of all, humility, which we've already covered. Today we're going to talk about relationship. We'll go a little bit in that. Then the actions and the attitude, how all these step walking with God. But you understand, the Christian life is not meant to be complicated, but it is meant to be connected to Him. And it starts with humility. We understand we need a God. We reach out to Him. He saves us. And then we have this relationship, which results in actions. The actions affects our attitude, and then we continue that on. But as we trek through the Scriptures, I want to just underline the seriousness of this. And let's think about, what if that does not work? What if there's a certain level of dysfunction in our walk? Okay, so bring up the next slide, if you will. Humility without a relationship is just all self-focused. Or maybe it's not humility at all. Maybe it's false humility. But a relationship, which then produces action, but if we don't have any action, that relationship will fade away. Think of somebody that you have a relationship with. If that relationship isn't nurtured and fed and we give ourselves to it, it's going to fade in its passion. And we have action that, without a real change of attitude, without the right attitude, just becomes mechanical. Just going through the motions, that sort of thing. Especially in our spiritual life, we don't want our life with Christ to become mechanical. I do this, I don't do that, I do this, I don't do that, don't. Where's the relationship there? And then attitude, going back to the top, without humility, starting it all, can become abusive. I know all the right things. I understand all the right things. I'm thinking correctly. But there's not that reality that I have to serve before God. And it all becomes kind of a circle back around. We'll talk more about those frames later, but I just want to kind of introduce that to you. But we're now in the thing about humility. So let's go back to that reality right there in front of us. Therefore, as you therefore have received Christ the Lord. Let's think about this relationship, and I just want to share four quick things with you that you see here in front of us. First of all, this relationship springs from our being rooted in Him. Verse 7, rooted and built up in Him and established in faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. So He doesn't just say, here's what I want you to do. You've received Christ, now walk in Him. In other words, that constant, that repetitive, that normative, just like walking is one step at a time. As we take our step, as we go through our life, as we live our life, we're living it in Him. We're all focused on Him. We're humble before Him. We are focused on this relationship with Him, which results in actions and attitudes, which then fosters more of the same. But He gives us some idea about what it means to walk in Him. And that's 7, 8, and 9, and a little bit of verse 10 in front of us. So He begins by, now He's used the word walk, which is one metaphor, one picture of our Christian life. Then He uses a biological, a plant, you know, maybe we could say agricultural metaphor, rooted. He says, and built up in Him, that's an architectural metaphor, if you will. But He's pulling all these images together to get us to understand. So first of all, a relationship springs from being rooted in Him. You think about what roots do to a plant, okay? They hold it in place, they give it stability, they give it strength when winds blow, and they give it that which seeks nourishment, that draws the minerals and the water out of the ground to survive. A plant that has been uprooted is not going to survive very long. So He says, you've been rooted in Him. You started out rooted in Him. And it goes back to that phrase in verse 6, therefore if you receive Christ the Lord. By the way, He's talking to believers here. He's writing to people who have already received Christ. They know that Jesus is the Lord. They've received Him. They've trusted Him. Now He's appealing to them to keep going. Just like you've received Him, now you need to walk in Him. You need to keep moving forward. You need to keep living in Him. And that is all relational, related to Him, a person. Not just some idea, not just some concept, not just some set of do's and don'ts, but a real live person. So that relationship, first of all, it springs from being rooted in Him. I want to just give you some suggestions that maybe you can think about that we can put in play in our life. First of all, I'm going to encourage you to do this. Regularly go back to the beginning of your relationship with Christ. Regularly go back. That beginning where you first took root in Him. And maybe think about where your life was before you came to know Christ. Now, for some of us, you might have to go all the way back to childhood, which may be a few years, maybe a few decades back. Maybe for some of you, it's more recent and fresh. It really doesn't matter, but go back to that. Don't ever lose sight of the fact of where you have come from and the difference that Jesus makes in your life. For some people, it is a dramatic change. They were just going in a lifestyle that was destructive and harmful, and everything changed. Sometimes life was going still pretty well, but there was something missing. There was something lacking. There was something that just wasn't quite satisfying and working. And so maybe it was not so much a dramatic change, but go back there. Every once in a while, I'll go back and look at a few old pictures of my children. Most of my children would not want me to put them up on the screen in front of you. Because sometimes they're missing teeth and Sometimes the style choices of those years ago are not style choices of clothing they would want made today. That sort of awkwardness. But it's just something about going back and looking at those pictures. Those pictures of your children in younger days, or someone you knew, or maybe even your younger days. Every once in a while when we read the scriptures, we need to go back to that. And here's the reality that builds a relationship. You know, you go back to those days and those pictures of those thoughts. We were sharing with someone, Julie and I were sharing with somebody about the first date we went on all those years ago. And by the way, I need to correct something. In one of the services last week, I said we've been married 42 years. It's actually 44 years. Sorry about that. I want to get that corrected in the record. Soon be 45. But there's just something enjoyable about going back to those early moments and thinking about those things. Think about those moments when Jesus first becomes someone you're aware of, and how you felt and how you reacted and the differences that was going on in your life when you met him. So go back to that. Go back to the beginning. Go back to about how you were saved. What was the story? What did God bring to bear in your life? Who did God bring into your life to bring you to Christ? Maybe you walked into a church for the first time, or maybe somebody you work with shared Christ with you, or maybe it was a family member that shared their story with you, whatever. And then you go back then to those early days of faith. What were you thinking about? And for most of us, our relationship with Christ begins with this big flurry of, oh, wow, I'm forgiven, I'm saved, I want to walk with him, I want to serve him, and all those sort of things. But sometimes then our walk gets a little sloppy, we get a little distracted, and sometimes we need the words of the Apostle Paul written to the Colossians all those years ago. As you've so learned Christ, so walk in him. Keep taking the steps, keep moving forward, have this relationship with him. So you're rooted in him. And the reality is, that is where it all springs from. It all springs from him. It all begins with him. Secondly, a relationship grows from being built up in him. That's what he says in verse 7, rooted and built up. That's that growth. You're learning things. You're still capturing things that you need to have in your life. You're still changing things. Every once in a while, this is good for couples every once in a while, or families, or really any relationship. Every once in a while, just spend a little time and say, how are we doing? How do you evaluate a relationship? How do I evaluate a relationship? And we need to do that on a spiritual level. Lord, how am I doing with you? Am I really thinking about you? Am I really serving you? Am I not paying enough attention to you? How's my prayer life? How's my Bible study life? How's my church attendance life? How's my serving? Whatever it is. Or just take a little stock. You think of someone who is a builder, building things, okay? As you build things, you understand that if there's steps that need to take place, everything is built upon each other thing. And if you find out there's something in that building process that's out of place, it needs to be corrected. It's kind of like plumbing. If you have a leak, you better deal with it quickly. Otherwise, you'll be paying for your contractor's next vacation. You've got to get on that. You've got to take advantage of that. You've got to say, this needs fixed. Fix this early. Fix this quick. So spend some time evaluating your relationship. Look for problems. Where are the problem areas in my life? Maybe this question would be a good one to say. If there's one area in my life spiritually, in my walk with Christ, that needs attention, it would be blank. By filling in that blank, it might give you the indication that's where you need to work. Because relationships take that attention. It takes that evaluation. Look for opportunities. Lord, is there an opportunity that I'm missing? Some way that I could be serving, something I could be doing, something I could be involved in that I'm missing. What can I add to my life? Or maybe you could say, what is that opportunity to subtract something from my life? It may not be something that's bad or evil or awful, but maybe there's something in my life that's just taking a little too much of my time and attention. And if I could just subtract that out of my life, I'd have more time to spend with you, that balance you're looking for. And look for the change that's going on. Rejoice in that, because Jesus promised that he's going to be continuing to build what he's going to be building. And what he's building is his church, and the church is made up of us. So think about that building. Think about that being rooted in him. Thirdly, relationship also requires something else. It says, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as you have been taught. In the faith as you have been taught. In the faith that they had previously been taught. And Paul's now writing to remind them, remember those things you were taught? You need to hang out there. You need to stay there. You need to just kind of be established in that. Okay? And this is number three. Relationship requires having a correct view of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, a correct view of Him. Have you ever been mistaken about somebody that you had a relationship with? You learn something about someone the more time you spend time with them? Have you ever had a misplaced expectation about somebody and then you felt like you had the rug pulled out from under you? You know, all those things are true, right? We need to have a correct view of Jesus, not just a view that we think of Him in a certain way that we manufacture or that someone else manufactures, but we need to have a view of Him that comes from the source, that comes from Him, which comes from the Scriptures, all right? And we need to make sure when we think about Jesus, we get the picture of Jesus, the idea of Jesus, the concept of Jesus that comes directly from the Scriptures. Now, it gives a little bit of warning. If you get down to verse 8, beware lest anyone cheat you. I don't like to be cheated, do you? None of us like to be cheated. So listen, this is a powerful thing. Beware lest anyone cheat you, a spiritual cheat, if you will, cheat you through philosophy, that's worldly wisdom and thinking, apart from Christ, and empty deceit, saying something, but there's no real validity there, according to the tradition of men, leaving out the Word of God, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. We need to have some spiritual discernment when we have our understanding about who Jesus is. Can I just say this as plainly as I know how? Not everybody that shows up at your door, not everybody that shows up with a smile, not everyone that shows up on your screen talking about Jesus will have your best interest in mind. It was true in Paul's day, it is true certainly in our day, that he says, just be careful. Don't let anyone cheat you by sharing something and twisting and turning and prodding and making Jesus into something that he never was. So we need to understand that two sources. First of all, make sure that whatever we hear, whatever we're taking in, aligns with the Scriptures. I love that where he says the philosophy, through philosophy and empty deceit. Sometimes people will have so much truth packed in and just a little bit of error just to kind of twist it. Or that they will take the Scriptures and not rather than looking at the whole, they were looking at these little tiny bits and pieces and build a case that was never there. We need to be students of the Scriptures ourselves. Find chapter and verse when people say something to you. Also, make sure that your sources are trusted. Have a trusted source. As I said, not everyone shows up with a smile and in a big venue somehow has your best interest in mind. I don't want you to become overly skeptical of everybody that's a preacher or teacher, okay? But just make sure that what they're saying aligns with Scriptures and make sure that their life is aligning with Scriptures as well, all right? Just a little warning there. It says in verse 9, for in Him, Jesus, dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Jesus is God, fully God. There's nothing about God that's left out of Jesus. So he says, you need to make sure that you have a correct view of Him from the Scriptures, and what was presented to us from the Scriptures is all we need to know, and He's perfect in every way, and everything He says is of value, everything is true, everything is going to pan out, it's all good, trust in it. And then he ends with this, verse 10. And you, I love it when we get pulled into the discussion, don't you? And you, we can say, that's us, we. And you are complete in Him. I don't feel very complete. I feel rather incomplete at times. Do you? Well, it's not about feelings. It's about faith here, all right? And basically saying you're complete in Him because you have all of Him that you're ever going to need. You have all of Him that you could ever receive. He's available to you. He's saved you. He's changing you from the inside. He's promised you heaven. He's going to make your life a lifetime of progress and change as we walk with Him. That we just kind of get in step with Him. We order our lives with Him. And the great news is we have everything that we need in Him, who is the head of all principality and power. Whenever you see those two words or any words like them in the New Testament, Paul is talking about how the universe is arranged, okay? You have mankind. You have mankind who originally was given dominion over this planet. You have the angelic realms between us and God, higher than us. Some are fallen, that's Satan and his demons. Some are still the righteous angels serving God, and that's the principalities and powers realm, okay? You have the people realm, principality and powers realm, and then you have the one that's above, it says right here, who is the head of all principality and power, and that's God Himself. It's a way of saying, you go up the ranks, You go up the ranks, and at the top of it all stands Jesus. And you are complete in Him. Make sure you have a correct view of Him. What you get from Scripture, get it from trusted sources, and cling to Him. We are never going to be able to walk with Jesus consistently and vitally and in reality unless we encounter Him through the pages of the Word of God. The Word of God, it says, is living and powerful and sharp. And it accomplishes everything that God sends it for to accomplish. It is eternal. It is without error. And this is how we encounter Him. Thank you. For those of you here, thank you for those that are watching right now for giving your time to some study of the Word, but because this is where we encounter Christ. We need to have this relationship. It is built through this rooted process, this build-up process, this correct view process. Go back to verse 7. There's one part I've left out. Rooted and built up in Him, established in the faith, as you've been taught, abounding in it with, say the word with me, thanksgiving. The word abounding means always enlarging, all right? Some of you have been watching some football of late. A couple games on today some of you might tune into. But you know there's these sidelines away, and if you step across the line on the sidelines, you're out of bounds. That's what limits the field of play. Now we got all these cameras and all the, you know, zoom in. Was he in bounds? Did he get 2 feet in? All that kind of stuff. But he says, abounding means you'd be pushing out those boundaries. Not be a limited field of play, but an enlarging field of life. Abounding in what? Abounding in worship. Relationship is fueled by our worship, and thanksgiving is one essential component of worship. It's fueled by our worship. If you never talk to somebody, I'm not an expert on relationships, but I think this is true. If you never talk to somebody, you're probably not going to have a good relationship with them. Can we just, you know? You got to have some conversation, some communication. Communication is key. Communication is critical. Most of us could do better in our communication skills with the people in our lives. But you know what? Let's make sure that we make sure that we communicate with our Lord. And thanksgiving is just one component that He pulls out. If we're going to be walking with Him, building this relationship, we need to talk to Him. He talks to us through the Word of God. We talk to Him as we thank, as we pray, as we praise, as we ask, as we seek, as we knock. That ongoing encounter with Him. I remember being in a setting one time where I was in a small group, and you know, as a pastor, you have to pray in public. I've prayed at inaugurals, when people are getting inaugurated into some office. I've prayed at, you know, civic events. I've prayed at political events. I've prayed at, you know, we need an appointed prayer. We come and pray. I prayed down in the legislature at opening sessions. And I enjoy doing it. I'm thankful to do it. But, you know, you don't want to become a professional prayer, okay? That's, you know, you can say, you know, I'm not just saying a prayer. I want to talk to the Lord. Anyway, I was in a setting one time, and there was this young lady there, and she said, who would like to pray? She said, I'll pray. And she just starts talking to the Lord. You know, hey, Lord, it's me. And I thought she was going to give God her address. You know, it's like, it's me, 1602, you know, whatever. And she just was talking to the Lord like her best friend. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for this day. Oh, by the way, I forgot to say to you today, I love you. I'm going to say I love you. I'm just like, wow. That sort of intimacy, that sort of reality, that sort of just, Lord, you're part of whatever I'm doing right now. I'm having a rough day today. Lord, I want you to enter into that. I know you're going to be there for me. You're not going to forsake me. Somehow you've allowed this or you've caused this. I don't know which, but you're in it. Let's be in it together. That's that walking with the Lord. Communication is the key to every relationship, and this celebration aspect, which is the thanksgiving, enhances every relationship as well. You know, there's times when we celebrate. You know, we celebrate a birthday, we celebrate a holiday, we celebrate an anniversary. You know, we bring out the cake and the icing and snacks and hors d'oeuvres, and we celebrate because we value this relationship. We value this time together. What's going on? Maybe it's an anniversary, maybe it's a wedding, maybe it's a birthday, whatever. We should have some partying with the Lord every once in a while. Lord, I just come before you and I thank you that you would save someone like me. that you would make someone like me, that you'd let me live this day, that you could use me in some way for your glory. Thank you. Thank you. And there's something about saying thank you that takes you back to humility, really. If I'm saying, Lord, I thank you for this, I thank you for my life, I thank you for that, whatever it is, it's a way of saying, you have provided it, I didn't do it myself. You have given it, I didn't earn it. It's an act of grace, not a response to obedience. It's your mercy coming my direction that I didn't deserve. You're God, I'm not. And I'm gonna treat you as the God that you are. I wanna give you my thanksgiving. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. We just take one moment and say this. If you received him, there's your walking orders to be building into this relationship. But if you've never done what he's assuming of them, that you have not received Christ Jesus the Lord, the invitation's wide open to you today. He would love to be your Lord. He'd love to be your Savior. He waits. He's accomplished all that needs for that to happen, except he's waiting for you to make that choice. He's not going to force that choice on you because he wants you to do it out of an act of love. You think of your children or your grandchildren that you love, someone in your life, niece, nephew, whatever. You know, you want them to love you and give you a hug because they choose to do it. You say, get over here and give me a hug or I'm going to... I mean, that's not love. God doesn't say that to us. You get over here and believe me, or I'm going to smack you. No, he says, I've loved you. I want you to love me and receive me in return. And he waits for you to make that choice. If you've never taken that step, today would be a great day. Need to talk to somebody about what that means, to explore that a little more. We'd have that conversation. Maybe a Christian friend or family member you've come with can have that conversation with you. But make sure you receive Christ. For the rest of us, let's spend some time working on a relationship with Jesus. Maybe for us it's that communication and worship. Maybe it's spending time in the scriptures to hear him speak to us. Maybe it's just that constant evaluation of relationship. Where am I? What am I? What's my opportunities? What's my problems? And go back to that beginning of where I was rooted in him, how he saved me, how he brought me to him, how I was in those early days. All those are going to enhance our relationship, which is going to push us into action, which is going to just kind of absolutely mold our attitude and just kind of continue to push us forward in our walk with him. So take that little admonition that you see on the screen in front of you and take that as our marching orders today. Let's pray.
Thank you for joining us for Living the Word today. We appreciate your sharing in this study of the Scriptures. Also, be sure to subscribe on your favorite podcasting platform so you will not miss a single episode. And thanks, too, for your prayers and for letting others know of this ministry as we seek to be living the Word today. We would love to have your feedback and to hear from you, and the best way to contact us is through our website, livingthewordtoday.com. Until next time, may His blessing be yours.